At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Amid news about the violent protests in Charlottesville, Virginia, came word of an anti-white supremacy rally planned for Dallas. On the event's Facebook page, a community organization called In Solidarity said Saturday's rally will begin at the Confederate War Memorial in Pioneer Park Cemetery. Protesters plan to demand removal of the memorial and denounce white supremacy. Organizers say they're working closely with the Dallas Police Department. In Solidarity protested at the memorial for the same reason Thursday, but it ended with a heated confrontation with a few men carrying Confederate flags. There are just 2 days left in the special session, and Governor Greg Abbott says he's not ruling out calling for another one this summer. The State House has refused to vote on many of the 20 items Abbott wanted lawmakers to consider. He spoke to WFAA over the weekend.
As I said from the very beginning, if they don't pass, it's not because of lack of time. It's because of a lack of will. People need to step up and start casting votes and pass these out or either reject them. I can take it either way, but I and the taxpayers of Texas deserve a vote.
The special session, which ends Wednesday, was essentially called to renew the Texas Medical Board, but Abbott added 20 agenda items, including the so-called bathroom bill and property tax reform. The Senate sped through that agenda, passing almost everything the governor requested, but the House has not, and lawmakers have shown little interest in passing the governor's wish list. Paramedics can respond to emergencies in 5 to 8 minutes, but an injured person could possibly bleed to death in less time. A government program called Stop the Bleed aims to train bystanders to help in the interim. Parkland Hospital's Trauma Center is teaching local Stop the Bleed classes. In this edition of Vital Signs, the center's medical director, Dr. Alexander Eastman, talked more with me about the need for the classes.
If you take a look at some of the injuries that were sustained in the Boston Marathon bombing, in the Sandy Hook school shooting, mm-hmm. in some of the other tragedies that we've seen throughout our country, we realized that we had to do something to try to help improve survival from active shooter and intentional mass casualty events. And so a group of us gathered to try to figure out if there was something we could do to help the public help themselves. And some of the skills and techniques that we teach people in terms of being able to save their own lives from a hemorrhage control standpoint are very easily applicable by someone who has very little training. And so when we realized that, look, we could train all the police and firefighters in the world to do this, and we still would miss that sub-segment of the population that just happens
everywhere
to,
or everywhere in time.
That's right. And the one thing that each of these incidents has in common is that there are always people formerly known as bystanders, now that we call immediate responders, who are standing right there next to the people that are injured. And so the idea was that if we could teach them to help themselves or help their fellow man or woman who's hurt right next to them, then we would go a long way to making this country more safe.
And there's not much time to waste, really, in a bleeding incident.
Let's just say that I'm driving around in my Dallas Police Tahoe, and you call me, and I get to your side 5 minutes after you make the phone call. From a law enforcement or an EMS response, that would be considered outstanding. But wearing my trauma surgeon hat, that's awfully slow, and 5 minutes of unchecked bleeding potentially is life-threatening for you.
So what kind of situations are we talking about?
We're talking about lacerations to major arteries, big injuries.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes of that can be life-threatening for you. And so the idea is to try to help trauma center level care and put it right at the side of the person who's injured. You know, the United States military did this in Iraq and Afghanistan by deploying tourniquets and hemorrhage control gauze, and they've saved countless lives. These classes are designed to take someone who has zero medical training, give us about an hour, and we'll teach you how to save your own life in the event of a life-threatening emergency that's related to bleeding.
So in the event, though, that someone may not be able to get to a class soon or at all, what are some necessary steps they need to know?
You know, the thing that we would like to do is keep as much of that person's blood inside the body as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing you'd want to do is just put some pressure on that wound with your hands or whatever you have. If the pressure doesn't work, and in some cases it won't, then you'll need to put a tourniquet on that extremity or pack that wound full of gauze, shirt, something to try to get the bleeding
controlled.
Anything you can use. Now, there are some tools, a commercially purposed tourniquet, you know, tourniquets that were made initially for our special forces now are being deployed all over the world, not in the hands of paramedics and police officers. They're in the hands of regular folks out there. And the other thing is that if you have what you can stuff inside a bleeding wound, if you've got your shirt, that's great. But if you've got some specialized gauze that's called combat gauze that we use quite a bit, it's a gauze that's made with a procoagulant substance on it that makes your blood clot. Then if you've got that, then use that because it works wonders.
But the average person isn't likely to have that on them.
But what we're hoping is that, and you'll see this now around the city of Dallas, our large occupancy buildings, the Meyerson, City Hall, mm-hmm. the police substation, some of the rec centers, Love Field, the convention center, areas where there's a lot of folks, the city has gone out and pre-positioned some of this equipment in some of those large occupancy buildings. The idea being that you may not carry a roll of combat gauze on you, but if you need one, God forbid, then you can just look to the wall. These kits are co-located with the automated defibrillators that are out there, and you'll see a hemorrhage control kit on the wall right next to that defibrillator. Back in the 70s and 80s, we realized people were dying from cardiac arrest, mm-hmm. and we taught the public how to do CPR, and that really improved survival. But now this is really the CPR of the 21st century, and we want to make sure that all 340-something million Americans know what to do if they're in see life-threatening bleeding and can help their fellow American out.
Dr. Eastman, thank you for being with me.
Sam, thank you very much.
Dr. Alexander Eastman is medical director of Parkland Hospital's Trauma Center and an assistant professor of surgery at UT Southwestern Medical Center. Ahead on BBC NewsHour, the aftermath of Charlottesville, demonstrations and vigils were held overnight in many cities to condemn racism and violence. You'll hear from the deputy mayor of Charlottesville. BBC NewsHour begins at 9 on KERA 90.1. There's still a chance of some rain, maybe through 9 or 10. Expect a high near 96. It's 75 in Dallas, 74 degrees in Fort Worth.
Support for KERA.